You are Locked On Bucks, your daily podcast on the Milwaukee Bucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Backs him down. Giannis into the lane. Giannis spinning. Fading shot. Up. Good for Giannis at the buzzer. Bucks win it.
Welcome to Locked On Bucks. I'm Eric Name. Joining me as always is my good friend Frank Madden. And bringing you tonight's episode is Draft, our friends at Draft, our daily fantasy app that you can use to play daily fantasy basketball. And it's not like the other apps where you do that. It's a league where you can only own certain people. Like, only one person gets each player, while in other daily fantasy apps, you can kind of overlap. So it's kind of new, interesting, and I know we've been having a lot of fun on it the last couple weeks as we've gotten introduced to it. So come and join us on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com. You can do that either way, and you'll get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use our promo code LOBUCKS. Again, that's LO Bucks for Locked On Bucks, and that'll get you going on Draft. So go out and do that today. Frank, things did not go so well for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. They lost 110-91, and it was pretty ugly. I can say that much. From the start, Oklahoma City kind of dominated that game, and I think that was pretty much that.
Well, they did lead 8-4 at one point, Eric. But yeah, I mean, this was an egg from everybody not named Giannis. Go down the list, players, coaching staff, whatever. I mean, the Bucks really didn't seem prepared for the Thunder's physicality on either end, to be honest. You know, Westbrook and Steven Adams looked terrific running pick and roll, and yep. You know, I think the stats won't really do justice to sort of the force and tone that they set, especially in that first half. I don't think Russell scored in the second half. And so they really set the tone, you know, with their offense, getting the Thunder out and kind of dictating the terms of play. I mean, if this was, you know, a football game, we would have said the Thunder kind of, you know, sort of beat up the Bucks at the point of attack and, I don't know, something about the trenches and blah, 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 because certainly Steven Adams almost, you know, broke Thon Maker in half a couple times on, yep, on a couple of those rim rolls and dunk finishes early. And, you know, and I think the, you know, and we were just discussing before the pod too. I mean, that's a big deal because we know the Bucks are going to struggle when, you know, ball movement happens and, you know, a team is able to kind of pass out of sort of the initial action and the Bucks send help. But the Bucks couldn't even help themselves stop the initial action, it felt like, a lot of, yeah, times. And it seemed like, I was joking on Twitter, it seemed like the only thing they did well was close out on Anthony Robertson, which is like, you know, the worst thing you can do, because actually you want him shooting. We saw that in the first, yep, half. He put one off the backboard from the corner. And I swear they had a couple plays in the second half where they closed out hard on him and he, you know, made another pass and the Thunder got an easy basket. It's just like, you know, know your personnel, like
scouting report. You know,
yeah, scouting report. I mean, it's just it's kind of those things. And look, I mean, they also have guys like Melo and George. I mean, you know, yeah, they hit like a number of mid-range shots, and you know, some of that stuff you just live with it. I think Chris Middleton before the game was saying something about, you know, that they just hope to make life difficult and, you know, give up contested long twos. And it's like, well, okay, that's philosophically, that sounds good. But the problem tonight was, you know, they just really couldn't dictate the terms of the game on either end. And I think a lot of frustration tonight was probably around the Bucks offense, just because Giannis, despite a great effort defensively from Anthony Robertson, scores 28 points on 14 shots. He had his jump shot going. He had 2 out of 3 3-pointers. He's up to 40% for the season, by the way. but, you know, other than Giannis kind of just manufacturing, you know, efficient scoring, nobody else kind of knew what to do. It seemed like, you know, there were, they just were not ready for Oklahoma City denying the ball, and they were, you know, Steven Adams was zoning up Giannis in advance of catches, and I don't know, it's just like, did the Thunder not do this against anybody else? Like, did you guys not see any of this, anticipate any of this? It seemed like they had some issues there, and then they just missed a bunch of open threes too, you know, which,
yeah,
you know, maybe if you played a little bit better defense and, you know, you were able to hit some open threes, then you could have been at least competitive in this game. But, you know, this is one of the problems with obviously being a team that, you know, is this season relying a bit more on the 3-point shot, which, again, I'm not complaining about that. You know, you're going to have to live with this from time to time, that sometimes you don't hit shots, and, you know, it was exacerbated tonight by the fact that they couldn't create anything else easy unless it was Giannis just sort of making, you know, willing it to happen. So, you know, you can just go down the list from Chris Middleton, another bad shooting game. Apparently the second half in Atlanta was not a turning point, at least not yet. And even Malcolm Brogdon, our dear Malcolm Brogdon, who's been the most consistent guy on the team up until now, Malcolm really struggled tonight. And so, you know, when nobody gets into double figures other than Giannis, you know you're in trouble. And, you know, I don't know, you can take your pick whether you were more disgusted with the offense or the defense tonight, because there was just not much to redeem the Bucks' effort.
Point of attack, man. When the Bucks defense looks the worst, I mean, really the entirety of us doing this podcast, it's when they get beat at the point of attack. And it was funny, before we were talking about this, again, like when I'm at a game, I'll be sitting at weird angles in the corner on the baseline, sometimes up top, but a little bit pushed off to the side. So I don't necessarily have the best angle to really see things. And I asked you something to the effect of, like, were the bigs helping at all on Westbrook? What was going on with the pick and roll stuff? Because Westbrook was anywhere he wanted to be, literally anywhere. It did not matter. I don't know what the Bucks were doing, but also it didn't matter what the Bucks were doing, because he was getting anywhere he wanted on the floor and doing whatever he wanted on the floor. And he just killed them in the first half, and it was pretty much over at halftime. And it was just funny to see some of the post-game quotes, because I think it kind of tells a story. And I asked Giannis a couple questions, and I think all of them kind of sum up the game. I asked, how do you guys try to slow down Westbrook a little bit? What can you do better? And he said, we got to show him bodies the way they show me bodies. We got to do the same thing to Westbrook. Cannot allow him to get into the paint, because when he gets into the paint, he's a nightmare. He can make passes, he can score, he can do everything. The next time we play him, we have to show him more bodies. And on one side, you see a team that did that successfully. That was exactly what the Thunder did to Giannis. Anytime he touched the ball, there was a body there. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the times they were able to keep him from getting the ball, whether that would be a touch on the top of the floor, on the wing, in the corner, at the elbow. It didn't really seem to matter. Robertson was there, was physical, and was keeping the ball from him. And I don't know if you'd say Westbrook really worked for anything tonight. Obviously, he's a very talented player and works very hard, but there was nothing that I thought the Bucks made difficult for him. There weren't tough catches. There wasn't bodies at him going 94 feet, like Thon helping out in that regard. There wasn't really anything there. And Westbrook just does what he wants. And he did what he wanted against the Bucks tonight. So I thought that was huge. And then I had asked Giannis about kind of what can the team do to create offense when someone's denying you, like Robertson did tonight. And he said, if I can't get the ball, it's 4 against 4. The floor becomes bigger. We've got more space. It's the other 4 guys on the floor making a play. If I'm not able to get the ball, it's 4 against 4. We've got to make something happen. And I mean, I think as we've talked about this team and this offense for the entirety of the summer, I think this is the conversation we were having when we talked about trading for Kyrie Irving. Like, there's got to be someone else on this roster that has enough playmaking ability to do this. And obviously, you want to see the offense do well enough that they can just get Giannis the ball and Giannis can dominate. And you got to be creative and find these different ways. But at some point, someone else has to make a play. And the Bucks, certainly tonight, didn't have that guy. Brogdon going, 4 points tonight, 4 assists. Middleton, 9 points and 2 assists. And neither of them were really able to step into that complementary role and do something more. And when you have concerns about this Bucks team going forward, it's not having enough playmakers. And that was the case tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, again, you get into bench lineups with, you know, Delly. I mean, Delly, especially against a team like this, with the physicality, you know, granted, when he's going up against Raymond Felton, it's maybe not as pronounced, but I think against this Thunder team, which, athletically has probably, I mean, they're probably as well suited as any team when you factor in having Robertson as well as, you know, Paul George and Jeremy Grant and some of these other guys to, you know, throw athletes and bodies at Giannis. And again, it just seemed like they weren't ready to really take advantage of what the Thunder were doing. And, you know, and this is now a couple times in a row now that the Bucks have just been annihilated by the Thunder, including the game last year in OKC. And I mean, this is concerning, right? It's like everybody wants to talk themselves into the Bucks being ready to, you know, make real progress this year. And it's not that you lose to the Thunder at home. It's just how you lose to them, right? Yeah. And we've seen this now a couple times. I mean, the Cavs have had a very bad start to the season, and really the only game probably where they've looked like the old Cavs was against the Bucks in Milwaukee. The Bucks have now lost 3 times in 5 tries at home. And again, you know, losing to the Thunder, the Celtics, and the Cavs is not embarrassing to lose to those teams. But you were uncompetitive in two of them. And again, it's just like, you know, okay, you know, you kind of just get the vibe of like, well, we're still a young team and we're, you know, just trying to make the playoffs. It feels a lot like last year with a lot of these games. And, you know, you talked about it last time against the Hawks, which was a win. But, you know, you were raising the question of how often have the Bucks just beaten down even a bad team, right?
Yep.
And so, again, it's, you know, can you take care of business against bad teams? Okay, that's a start. But, you know, being just flat out uncompetitive, I think it just speaks poorly of, obviously, Jason Kidd and the coaching staff. And it speaks poorly of, you know, the players that they're just, you know, not able to elevate their game and do what needs to be done to again, just be competitive, right, in front of your home fans. And so, yeah, I mean, it's early, right? I mean, you know, as far as this team goes, you know, I'm not suddenly back onto, you know, wanting to bench Chris Middleton or something like that, right? I mean,
yeah.
Chris Middleton is getting looks and he's not hitting them. What was he, 0-for-5 from 3 tonight?
Yep.
We were hoping the 3-of-5 effort last game might have, you know, kind of been the start of him getting out of that, but you know, they haven't played well. And I think, again, you know, John Henson has been a nice story for the Bucks up until now. But when John Henson has to go up against physical centers,
it's not going to go well.
It's not going to go well. Right. And, you know, to the Bucks' benefit, the league is obviously skewing away from physical interior play and big players. And I think that helps a number of players, namely Thon and John Henson. But and it helps Giannis too, but on nights like tonight, you know, you see just how much the Bucks can be exposed. And you know, certainly Henson, Thon, didn't really matter who was in there, nobody was, you know, and again, not that Greg Monroe is going to come in and change the dimension, you know, change the game or something like that necessarily. Pretty much anybody could have potentially done better than what the yeah. Bucks had going, but yeah, it's just one of those games that, you know, again, I think some people, you know, it's like you don't want to just say, oh, burn the videotape. No, look at the videotape
and, yeah,
and look exactly where you guys struggled, because, again, it just didn't seem like they had really answers on either end particularly. And again, somewhat offensively, yeah, like if they hit some open jump shots, then they probably feel better about their offensive performance. But, you know, I mean, you got to hit jump shots, okay? Like this is the new.
The whole league does it.
Yeah, the whole league does it, and now that you have Giannis as your focal point, and he's attacking from the elbows mainly, doing stuff like that, you know, you can't hit jump shots every other game. You have to hit jump shots every game. And, you know, again, the scrubs in the fourth quarter maybe made it a slightly more respectable.
Yeah.
They actually scored a little, you know, some points with the, you know, bench units in, but certainly the starters were just bad outside of Giannis tonight.
And it's funny, too, because we were talking. You and me were sending messages to each other, I think, in the first 5-6 minutes of the game when Giannis was in there, and we were talking about how we actually thought the Bucks were doing a pretty nice job combating the denial. And they were doing a solid job trying to get some different looks. Like there was the back screen where they'd have Deli or Brogdon come up and get Giannis loose for that little look over the top. There was a couple step-up screens where they were able to get Giannis moving and going. And then it all went to shit. There's just no other way. It looked like, okay, those were ways to create things for Giannis. Those were ways to combat the denial. And then they went down 10 points, and it was like, nah, whatever.
Like, curtains.
It's over. Like, they're making us work hard, and we're not really interested in it. And it just looked like there was no execution, no one really trying to combat anything. It was just like, oh, okay, well, it looks like they're better than us. And, yeah, there's no – looking at your record after 7 games and saying 4-3, okay, that's nice, but – when you get embarrassed in 2 of your 3 losses, well,
at home,
like those are things that fans are going to freak out about and should freak out about. Like, you should be able to have that reaction. And I know I'll tell people on Twitter, like, okay, it's just 1 of 82. Like, take a deep breath. Like, the sun's going to come out tomorrow. Everything will be fine. But yeah, like you can be mad about this. Like, it was not a good performance. It was a crap performance, and it was a performance where they didn't seem prepared for anything that was really going to happen, offensively or defensively. And I don't know. It's a really frustrating night, like, to just watch that team. And again, it's another night where they're on national TV. It's a game that gets hyped up. I know on the Jump right now, they're doing Greek Freak Week because the Bucks play 4 games in 6 nights, so they wanted to kind of hype that up. So there's a daily Giannis segment on the Jump. SportsCenter was doing live hits from the Bucks game tonight. Like, all of that stuff is starting to happen, and then the Bucks just no-show. And it's not... I don't think it is acceptable. It is something that they have to improve on, and they have to look better. And it's tough for me to imagine. Again, I know they have more weapons this year. I know you have Carmelo, you have Paul George, and obviously Steven Adams is playing great. You have all those things, but to not... I just think back to that Blazers game, and Damian Lillard worked so hard. They were sending traps at him, and again, Lillard's big, but he's not Westbrook big, and he's not Westbrook downhill. They're different players, but it just seemed like they did such a nice job forcing him to give the ball up in that game and worked so hard in that regard. To not do it tonight is just disappointing. And I it's Halloween, so I don't know. John Henson turned into a pumpkin again. Would that be the right thing to say? Like, he just wasn't able to, in that Blazers game, it was really trapping hard and really blitzing those pick and roll plays and keeping Lillard off the ball. And tonight, well, Westbrook just got wherever he wanted.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. Like, I think sometimes we focus so much on the Bucks scheme as being the reason why they struggle defensively, and maybe just like, maybe I don't know. I mean, like, maybe this coaching staff and these players and whatever the combination thereof, maybe they're just not going to be able to do any defensive scheme particularly well. I don't know.
Like, tonight, these players, I think, if you're dropping John Henson or Thon Maker on Westbrook, does it go better? Because I don't think it does. Right.
Well, and I think they tried to do more of that tonight. It didn't work. I mean, I think that's my concern, is that, you know, and again, I've obviously said, personnel wise, I think you don't have an excuse to be a bad defense.
Yep.
I just don't know. I mean, I'm kind of at the point where I don't know. I feel like it's almost an oversimplification to say, like, oh, it's because of, you know, the coaching staff scheme that they can't defend. Like, maybe they just can't, they're just not going to defend for these guys. And I don't know. Like, and again, defense is probably the hardest thing to figure out it is less talent driven than offense. Like, I have less concern about the offense just because the Bucks are shooting more threes. They have Giannis being incredible.
Yeah.
And again, they should be able to, you know, be better certainly than they were tonight. if they kind of stick to that recipe of shooting more threes, and obviously focusing on Giannis and that kind of thing. Defensively, I just don't know. I mean, it's early, but like at some point we've taken away Jabari Parker. You don't have that excuse. Greg Monroe's out 2 weeks. You don't have that excuse. You're just left with a bunch of like generally like, you know, pretty long, tall players, some of whom are athletic, not all, but for the most part, pretty solid defenders individually. And I don't know. I mean, it just seems, it's frustrating. Like watching Roberson, he works so hard to deny and frustrate the opponent. And while I was watching him, part of me was wondering, like, do the Bucks have guys that really do that? Like,
they don't.
Like Snell can sometimes do that. Like Thon can do that a little bit. Like when he's like fronting.
But I feel like even Snell doesn't do that. Like Snell makes guys work hard and then they get a catch and then he'll contest like a long jumper. Like I said it over the summer, he's not really a shutdown defender. Like Roberson's very much more a shutdown defender. Snell's like, oh, I'll make you work hard. You're probably going to get some points on me, but you're going to work hard doing it. I think Roberson's just a totally different level.
Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with that. And they are actually surprisingly similar in terms of their frame sizes. Like I always think of Roberson as like a bigger player, but he's I think 6'7". He's not, you know, he's not like a power forward sized guy. But yeah, I think that just, you know, very impressive how he does that. I mean, you know, we have Bucks players who annoy their opponents at times. Like Delly can be annoying. But not to the point of like physically dictating the terms of the engagement, if that makes sense.
And the Thunder might have three of them. Like yeah. Robertson and Adams for sure, and Paul George as well. Like those are three guys that are going to put you where they want you to be on the floor and are going to make you work hard as hell to even touch the ball. I guess that was kind of what stood out to me tonight too, is that, man, that Thunder defense is impressive. They're, even with a guy like Anthony and even like with a guy like Westbrook who can be out of control, take too many chances, and be not maybe the best team defender, God, they just throw dudes at you that are SOBs, man. Like, those dudes are just tough. And, yeah, that stood out to me, and I would agree. I do think, like you said, the Bucks have plenty of good defenders. I don't think they have any defenders like that.
Well, but either way, they have enough to be better than, yes, than certainly
totally
what
agree.
We're seeing, right?
Totally.
And I think the other thing, too, is, you know, and it kind of getting to the point of, like, you know, running Roberson off the line. I think one of the challenges, too, is, like, and I kind of wonder if, you know, we talked about the Bucks, their, you know, corner threes are down. They're, you know, I think their overall threes, at least in terms of their team ranking, is slightly better. I think they were about middle of the pack coming into this game, I want to say.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, well, that, you know, that is better, I guess. But it's sort of one of those things, too. It's like, you know, like with Roberson, I mean, running a team off the line, if you're scrambling and running a team off the line, even if you can challenge, I mean, I don't know. I'd be curious if the number of flyby, if the Bucks have a higher ratio of flybys on defense, where, you know, they're out of position and they have to recover and they have to challenge a shot and then they're out of position because the guy just pump fakes and lets the guy fly by, and then either you're driving to the rim in an odd man situation, or, you know, you just step back and sidestep for an open three or whatever.
It certainly feels like it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. It's like the recovery thing works if, you know, you challenge and the guy actually takes the shot. But if you're, you know, scrambling and compromised, you're kind of at their mercy, you know, if they don't do that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I think a lot of the not fresh wounds, so much old wounds that, you know, again, just got poked and prodded and torn at tonight, in terms of concerns offensively and defensively for the Bucks. You know, the Bucks' greatest strength was only more magnified tonight with Giannis doing what he always does, and an impressive night from him. I think him hitting a couple threes, you know, we mentioned it last week when he hit those couple threes late, they didn't really matter against the Celtics, but kind of wondered if maybe that would up his confidence a little bit. He hit one out of three in Atlanta. Now he hits two out of three. So again, he's 5 out of 9 since the Celtics game. So we'll see. Look comfortable shooting some more jump shots tonight. You don't want him always settling for that. But on nights like tonight, I mean, you have to have some of those shots in your arsenal because you're not just going to be able to barrel to the rim and, you know, get dunks all the time against a team like the Thunder. So I thought that was at least one encouraging silver lining we could take from this.
Another encouraging silver lining is draft and how much fun it can be and how much money you can win on that Daily Fantasy app. All you have to do is head over to Draft. You can do the app. You can go to draft.com. And here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. There's no trades. There's no waiver wire. There's no obsessing over a game in Phoenix trying to figure out if that's the guy that you want to pick up on the waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part, play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps. Play in a real live snake draft just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. And Frank and I obviously did that last week. We asked some of you to join us on Twitter. I don't think Frank or I got it in first or second there. I think I finished.
I finished like fifth or sixth out of six. I was not good.
I think I was third, and I needed a three from, I don't know, someone late, and they didn't hit it. So I was close. So you're smarter than us, and you can show that off at Draft.
Take our money.
Yeah, seriously. Come join us on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com, whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use our promo code LOBUCKS. Again, that's LO Bucks for Locked On Bucks. And that's right. Play a real money game for free just for using our promo code LO Bucks on your first deposit at Draft. So pretty easy stuff there. And pretty easy is not how I would sum up anything the Milwaukee Bucks had tonight. It was a frustrating night, and I guess the thing I'm struggling with is we've seen the Bucks miss open threes this year, and after all of those, I'm saying, or I've said on our podcast, man, those are really good looks. Those are open looks. Like I should be ecstatic that the Bucks offensively are creating those looks, and we're seven games into the season, and a number of those looks just aren't falling. So this is a strange thing to say, but I feel like wide open catch and shoot looks are good looks no matter what, but they're not going in a lot of the time, Frank. So should I feel like those aren't good looks? Like I'm just at a spot where I'm confused how so often those looks that I find to be quite good are just not going in. They will go in at some point, right?
I am more than happy to continue to have faith in shooting more three-pointers rather than fewer three-pointers. I think the only downside is if you don't make them early in the season, does the team or the coaching staff kind of, you know, overreact and say, oh, we need to go drive from, you know, we can't settle for as many threes when, you know, and there's something to that, right? I mean, yeah, you don't want to just settle for threes and if you have opportunities to attack and, you know, find some kind of balance. But, you know, I think offensively, you know, we've talked about it. If you're a good team, you want to be good offensively, you're going to have to shoot threes. You're going to have that threat. You're going to have to, you know, make teams think that you are a threat to do that. And, you know, certainly the Bucks have been a team that has not shot many threes the last few years. They've increased that number a fair bit. You know, they're up to 26 per game this year, hitting 37%. So again, that's still a pretty good percentage. And, you know, you just keep firing away. And in Atlanta, you hit half of them. Tonight, you don't. And unfortunately, you know, you needed them a lot more tonight than you did in Atlanta. But I think you just keep shooting them. And certainly, you know, a game tomorrow or today when people hear this against the Charlotte Hornets, a team that you've already beaten once, but they're a team that I think they're coming off a couple of encouraging wins over, I believe, the Grizzlies and Magic, two teams that have been surprising early in the season. And you know, this is a team that gives up lots of 3-point looks. So we may see very quickly that the Bucks are going to be dependent on hitting that 3-point shot once again in Charlotte. And obviously Charlotte is a team, especially given that they're an East team, they're a team that maybe hasn't been great to start the year, but has had some injuries and, you know, certainly has ambitions of trying to get further up in the East playoff seeds than maybe some people expect. And so, again, trying to take advantage of that and maintain that perfect road record is a pretty big deal, especially with some really difficult road games coming up after this.
One thing I've been thinking about offensively, Frank, and I guess it's my Steven Adams lust, let's call it. But watching Steven Adams play, I was just enamored with, one, how well he gets under people's skin without doing necessarily anything all that dirty. Obviously, we saw Middleton with the technical tonight, and they were just kind of grappling underneath the basket for a rebound, and then it went through, and Adams tossed the ball backwards, and it was at Middleton. Middleton caught it and threw it at him. But when I watch him, it's just so physical. And it's that way on both sides of the floor. And I think we've talked about this in the past, maybe at some point last year. But I would say Steven Adams is a great screener, a fantastic screener. The Bucks' best screener is Delly, right?
Well, pound for pound, I'd say certainly Delly. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of funny. I mean, I when I think of the Bucks' best screeners, I think back to like Zaza and Bogut. I don't really think back to necessarily guys on the current team. But you know, it doesn't have to be big physical guys to be good screeners, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, I think Giannis has gotten a lot better at screening and being effective at screening. And there's so many different ways to screen as well. I mean, a lot of times you don't really want to make big physical contact with the guy,
yeah,
right?
You can just be like a butt screen or just something to slow somebody down. Yeah,
exactly. You're just trying to brush, and then you're trying to release and get to your own spot as a screener. So Steven Adams is funny. I would agree, because he's a guy that other players seem to hate playing against.
Yes.
But he's not like a guy that opposing fans hate. Like, I feel like people generally like Steven Adams, even though he's driving your favorite team's players nuts.
Yeah, because I asked about it on Twitter, and I was like, does anyone else do it as well as Steven Adams? And a bunch of people were like, Marcus Smart, Delly. And I was like, I feel like those dudes like definitely straddle the line, if not totally cross the line, of being dirty players. And
right.
Like, I don't get that vibe with Adams. Like, he's just physical all the freaking time. And you're just going to have his body hanging on you offensively, defensively, whatever it is. Like, you're going to just have this brick house on you at all times. And it's going to be so annoying. And I don't know. He's just fantastic.
Maybe part of it is that people get frustrated by, like, he does not let himself get baited into anything.
No.
And so, I don't know. Maybe it's that people get frustrated because he's so...
He won't react.
Disciplined. Like, yeah. I mean, like, he's the kind of guy who, like, you can kick in the nuts like Draymond did multiple times, or you know, you could like, you know, if you were like in an alley fight, you know, you could like punch Steven Adams in the face and, you know, he would just like grin at you, you know, and then who knows what do you do with you. But you know, he's like one of those guys, like I don't even want to call him an instigator, because he's just mostly just playing hard, and he's obviously just really physical, and he knows where the lines are, and I don't think he really crosses them very often. Nope. I don't know. Like, I've never really thought of him as like a dirty player, but he obviously is a big bruising guy who's not afraid to throw his body around. And, you know, probably the fact that, you know, the Bucks are getting their ass kicked was a big part of Middleton getting frustrated and Middleton being really bad tonight. But yeah, shout out to Steven Adams. If only we could find a way to get Steven Adams playing center for the Milwaukee Bucks, but alas, I don't foresee that anytime soon. And you know, so goes it.
We had someone on Twitter ask us like, "Oh, could you trade for Steven Adams?" And you're like, "Well, if you give up like 8 first rounders, the Thunder might think about it."
I couldn't tell if that was a serious question or not. Like,
I didn't think it was. But
I'm always like, not gonna happen. He's a very, very underrated NBA player.
He's fantastic. Okay, so Looking at tonight's game, I think we got it all. But would you give me like 3 bullet points to summarize your thoughts? And again, like use like 50 words, maybe. What would be the 3 things that you use to summarize this game?
I'd say lack of preparedness for Oklahoma City's physicality on both sides was a huge letdown. So that goes back to coaching. That goes back to players. You know, just not reacting and not really being, you know, not really being able to rise to the occasion. And I don't know, it's kind of feels kind of cliche to say it that way. But yeah, I mean, I think to me that was sort of the biggest thing. And it's weird. It's like Oklahoma City did such a good job having a game plan to defend Giannis that it threw off the Bucks' entire team, even though Giannis actually fought through it and played really, really well. Yeah. It's very strange. Very strange. But again, this, you know, this is one of those nights where you watch Giannis and then you watch everybody else struggling around him and you just sort of think like, God, don't make this be like, you know, the narrative for the next 3 years of Giannis's career in Milwaukee where he's just going it alone and everybody else is stinking it up around him. Right. And that was sort of my greatest pessimism coming out of tonight. But
yeah, I was going to say that to me, that was just kind of, I think the fear that you have that, okay, this team is doing everything that they can to take away Giannis and Giannis is still fighting through it. Like 28-8-3. Like that's going to be a solid night, a 9-14 shooting. Like that'll do. But just that no one else really had anything. And yeah, I think immediately you think of LeBron's first time through Cleveland where it's just like, oh my God, Booby Gibson's out on the floor. Like, come on. So yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that was, to me, that would be a bullet point for me is, where's everyone else? Where's anyone else? Somebody, help. SOS. So that would be another one for me. And then I think the third one for me is just 33s, thumbs up, encouraging, great. Now just don't think that because you missed those threes, it was a bad thing. It's right. Good. Believe in it. Like spacing the floor around Giannis with dudes that can all shoot will work. You just have to believe in it. Don't go away from it. Shoot those threes.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking of people who we want, you know, people who need to just shoot and not think, Rashad Vaughn, as we predicted / assumed, does not get his team option picked up for the 18-19 season. So the Rashad Vaughn era has an expiration date, it would seem.
The glass slipper did not fit tonight, my friend.
Did not fit tonight. And it'll be interesting. He did get run tonight. Didn't really do anything until the Bucks were down a million in the second half. And I will be very curious to see how he's used the rest of the year because, you know, it seems like obviously, and again, I mean, he could be re-signed, but you know, typically when a team says, you know, nah, we don't want to pay you a fairly modest amount of money next year because we don't think there's really any chance of you being good enough to deserve that. Guys usually don't stick around. And obviously with Sterling Brown, who did get a little bit of run in the fourth quarter tonight, you know, there's sort of a built-in cheaper, newer, not proven to be bad yet alternative. So it will be interesting, I think, to see how Vaughn kind of fits in the rest of this year. And, you know, does he kind of continue to get semi-regular run? Can he actually finally get over some kind of hump? Or, you know, do the Bucks kind of decide, you know what, like we're effectively giving up on this guy. Let's just really give up on this guy.
Yeah.
We're going to now play, you know, Sterling Brown and kind of turn the page. And obviously, you know, if they make a trade, you know, certainly Rashad Vaughn now is an expiring contract would be, you know, a guy that would make sense to try to throw in there just to get off your books. Cause clearly the team is, you know, not viewing him as a part of the future. So, you know, no big surprise there, but, I guess we'll see if that's, we'll see what that means. Obviously, you know, it's a very peripheral thing for the Bucks, but, you know, something that obviously was a long time coming, but, still, you know, kind of sad to have to once again acknowledge that, you know, that pick a couple years back was you know, effectively a wasted pick.
Who's the best guy drafted after him?
I'm trying to think. I mean, it was definitely a weak draft, but I think Decker, and as far as first round picks go,
I'm just trying to think of in that range, like who else was there in that draft?
Yeah,
I know Bobby Portis is a big one. Right, Bobby Portis.
And that's the thing. I think that's why. I mean, I think there would be even more exasperation over over that pick, if not for the fact that a lot of the guys picked after him have not been good. So, I mean,
Jerrion Grant or DeLon Wright.
Yeah, I mean, DeLon Wright's fine. I mean, Justin Anderson is not good. Bobby Portis obviously has been very checkered. Rondae Alice Jefferson is, you know, whatever. Tyus Jones is vaguely interesting. Jarrell Martin barely got his option picked up. Larry Nance Jr. is fine. You know, RJ Hunter is no longer in the league. Chris McCullough didn't get his team option picked up. Kevon Looney didn't get his team option picked up. Chetty Osmond just got here. Montrezl Harrell, I'm just going down. This is the second round now.
Harrell's fine.
Yeah, Harrell's fine.
But I don't think you could have drafted him like a undersized big.
Yeah, I mean, it's ironic. You kind of go through this list of who was picked in that draft. I mean,
God, it's bad.
The best guys picked after Rashad were, I mean, Rashad or Josh Richardson at 40 has been a pretty solid player. He's had some injury problems. Norm Powell, ironically, technically a Bucks draftee with that 46. Ill-fated trade involving Gravis Vasquez at 46 has obviously turned into a pretty good player. But yeah, I mean that whole draft from basically
God, it's bad, Frank.
Yeah.
Oh from my basically God.
From pick 17 on, that whole draft has been pretty much a dumpster fire, and even some of the, you know, the higher pick guys, I mean, Hezonja and Okafor, two of the top 5 picks today did not have their team options picked up for year 4, which is I don't know if we've ever had two top 5 guys from the same draft have that happen. Moutier went number 7. He's obviously been disappointing. Stanley Johnson went 8. He's been really disappointing. But yeah, I mean, Miles Turner at 11 and Booker at 13 obviously have panned out well.
Oubre and Rozier look like players at 15 and 16, but
yeah, damn. Cameron Payne does not.
No, that is a bad draft. Good God.
Payne did not work out. So yeah, I mean, I think that is maybe, you know, has been weirdly some solace to Bucks fans, at least, is that there wasn't like the obvious star player drafted right behind Vaughn, and especially Bobby Portis, who myself included would have much rather had. You know, Bobby Portis hasn't really obviously done a whole lot. I mean, his most notable NBA NBA
some dude in the face
thing was breaking Nikola Mirotic's face. So I did mention the other week on Twitter that the Bucks pick was obviously the correct one, because Rashad Vaughn would never break Giannis's face. So
I guess to get back to Rashad, it's going to be interesting to me to see kind of how that dead man walking is handled, like, because you've essentially said to him, we don't want you
we don't want you.
So you still have him here, though. You have him here for the entirety of the season, so you have, what, 75 games left? And tonight he was your first backup two to come in, right? So you're kind of in a spot where, again, I don't love DeAndre Liggins. He's 29 years old. He's on a non-guaranteed. But does he maybe be a little bit physical with Westbrook? Does he help out in any way more than Rashad Vaughn does tonight? Maybe. I don't know. And Sterling Brown comes in, and again, it was garbage time, but 2 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal. I think both of us were kind of excited about Brown going into the season, and we haven't seen him get much of any run during meaningful times of the games this year. But, if you don't believe in Rashad Vaughn to that extent, You do have his bird rights, so if you want to bring him back, and he has a great 75 games, you can get him. But if you don't believe in him, what? I don't want to say what's the point of playing him, because maybe he gives you serviceable minutes, but there's been nothing to show that would be the case to this point. So to me, it seems like an obvious, okay, move on. Maybe he turns into a bit of a malcontent, but too bad. Like, you don't play. You're not a part of our future. We don't really care if you are that way. And I don't know if Rashad Vaughn seems like that type of guy anyways. So why not move on?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I think one of the things, especially with the bench units having Delly at shooting guard, man, you really need somebody else playing alongside Delly who can actually go do something with the basketball. Even with the fact that you're always staggering Chris and Giannis, I feel like that's something, especially offensively, you know, the whole like lacking a another guy who can kind of do something with the ball or shoot off the dribble or do something like that. I think that's really been an obvious kind of challenge thus far. So, so we'll see. I mean, yeah, if Sterling Brown could kind of break through here at some point and give you some good run of games and just be a little bit, you know, be a serviceable guy off the bench, that would be a huge plus. Because yeah, obviously tough to look at Vaughn and say he's going to be, you know, any type of guy who's going to make an impact for you. But I don't know. I think, you know, I have to say, especially with all the talk about Bledsoe and, you know, I tweeted about it last week that I was curious what was going to happen with George Hill, because George Hill has a very big contract in Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox is playing quite, you know, encouragingly to start the year. He's playing pretty big minutes, but they have Bogdan Bogdanovic playing pretty well, I think, and he's a very solid player and could be a good NBA player. And then they have obviously Buddy Hield, who they want to give minutes to. So I don't know, like George Hill getting $19 million a year to, you know, maybe have his job taken by De'Aaron Fox at some point soon. He's a guy that I find interesting. Obviously Bledsoe is obviously interesting, as we've discussed. I'm feeling more and more, I don't know. I mean, I'm usually a lot of times I think people maybe overreact a little bit to Delly, but God, I feel like the last couple of games in particular, I just look at it as a huge weakness for the Bucks, just especially offensively with the second units, like having Delly out there and having him on the ball so much. I just feel like if there was any way that you could get another point guard, and, you know, again, maybe that guy would be even better off backing up Brogdon and being like a super sub. But, you know, I don't think Bledsoe is going to be particularly fond of that idea. Yeah. I don't think George Hill would necessarily be particularly fond of that idea. But either way, some guy that you could bring in and play alongside Brogdon in addition to being your other point guard. That does feel to me like, you know, if you're going to make a move in the season, other than just getting Jabari Parker back, but if you're going to make a move during the season to really help this team take another step, especially offensively, because, I mean, again, I don't think, you know, you can't blame Delly for defensive problems. That's a whole separate issue. But offensively, I think you could potentially give them really a different dimension if you could find a guy who could, you know, attack off the dribble and be a real threat with the ball, because clearly Delly is anything but, even if he can, you know, run some pick and roll and occasionally hit that open shot.
It is what it's always been, right? Like, throughout the summer, we talked about, okay, you don't really have any guards who can create off the dribble, and that's really, really what we talked about. If you're looking for a clear upgrade to this team to somehow make it better, that was the spot. And as we've gotten seven games in the season, I don't think I've been dissuaded from that at all. If anything, I've been even further entrenched in that belief that is the best way to improve this basketball team.
But well, here's a question though. Would you say though that, I mean, I would say I have been pleasantly surprised by Brogdon up until now.
Yep.
Agreed. I feel better about Brogdon as one of my point guards, perhaps even my starting point guard. But you know, if I could add somebody who is even better than Brogdon or comparable to Brogdon, which, you know, I think George Hill and Bledsoe are nothing if not comparable, at least to Brogdon, and arguably better. Then I think you potentially have something very interesting, right? Because then you've got potentially two guys who are good enough to start and complement and play off of the guys you already have, but also bring a dimension that obviously Delly really lacks. So
I mean, that and that's what we were talking about before with Bledsoe, is just bumping Delly out of the rotation, like that spot right there, just circling it. That is the spot, because I think you can get creative enough with Tony and Chris and Giannis on the wing that you can find kind of what you need there, and you can be fine there, but that backup point guard spot. Geez, this feels like a problem as old as time with the Bucks. Like having a change of pace guard, that's just never been something the Bucks have had. So it would be very interesting, and I would assume most of Bucks Twitter is more and more behind a deal like that after tonight's game.
I kind of wonder, even, and not necessarily that it has to be him specifically, but I kind of wonder what the dynamic would be of having, you know, like a Lou Williams type guy who obviously is bad defensively, is not a pure point guard who's going to like create for others, but a guy who is a huge threat off the dribble and can hit three pointers and yeah. do stuff like that. I don't know. I'm curious, like, you know, especially like it's not like we're worried about Lou Williams screwing up the Bucks elite defense or something like that, right?
Nope.
I guess the Bucks defense could get worse. But in terms of like maybe that's a positive trade, if just in terms of his playmaking, maybe turning that second unit offense into something, maybe there's a guy out there like that who can turn your second unit offense into potentially an elite second unit offense, rather than one that, you know, oftentimes just kind of feels like they're, you know, in a rock fight.
Yeah. And just kind of treading water. I would agree. I said this before the season, but the path to 50 wins is a top five offense. Like that is how you get there, is to just be great offensively, because it doesn't look like at any point this season the defense is going to sniff the top five. Maybe that could change drastically, but I'm not seeing it. So I think it is probably, if you could juice up that second unit, that bench unit, really score some points and try to take advantage of that, and try to take advantage of other teams' second units to give the starters some help and maybe make the starters make a little bit more sense together. I think that might be a way to go. But alas, I think that is good enough for tonight. We will talk again tomorrow night, because the Bucks have a game again tomorrow night. They have the quick turnaround, traveling to Charlotte for a game tomorrow night. They beat Charlotte 103-94 the first time around, and we'll see if they can do that again. So looking at tonight, it's a bunch of doo-doo with Giannis, not doo-doo, with 28 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 assists. So that's going to be it for us on Locked On Bucks tonight. Bucks lose 110-91 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tonight's episode is brought to you by our friends at Draft. Again, all you have to do is go to Draft and download the app. It is very simple. Or you can go to draft.com and you can use the promo code LOBUCKS, again, LOBUCKS, to get a free play for the first time that you deposit at Draft. And like I said, we'll probably do a game tomorrow, if I had a guess. Frank and I will probably make a group that you can join, and we'll send that out on Twitter. And again, you can take our money, because that's what's just going to continue to happen, because we're losers. So go ahead and do that.
Harsh, man. Harsh.
You know, no, I'm just feeling down on myself,
Bucks,
Frank.
Bucks are rubbing off on us, man. Jeez.
Apparently. All right, Bucks lose 110-91. They have Charlotte tomorrow. We will talk to you again tomorrow. That was Frank Madden. I'm Eric Name. This has been Locked On Bucks, and we will talk to you after the Bucks win in Charlotte. Maybe. We'll talk to you then.